As you prepare to hear, as we prepare to hear the gospel lesson this morning, I would invite you, if you are able, to please stand. Hear now these words from Mark's gospel. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and possessed with demons. The whole city gathered at the door. Then he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions, hunting for him, finally found him, and they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And Jesus answered, "Let us go into the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. God's blessing rests upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for the teachings of your Apostle Paul and Jesus. We pray now, O God, in these moments that we share together, that you will give us a sense of rest and peace from the activities of our daily lives and living. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our Redeemer. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. It's Camping Sunday. But I'm sure you've already figured that out as we begin talking about camping. Now, camp can be a little special to some of our hearts. Some of you know that that is where Leanna and I met. We were on summer staff together at Jamonville, 81 and 82. And when we first met, we had a conversation last evening. I asked her about, when do you first remember seeing me at Jamonville? And she says that I was walking down the hill from the mail cabin, Andy, and I was with another couple that were dating that I was in college with, Mount Union. And, well, as I learned later on, years later, this gentleman had most of us snowed. Leanna knew what he really was like, and that was just tucked away and hidden. And her thinking was, oh, David is socializing with him, therefore I'm staying away from both of them. Now, my first memory of Leanna is in the kitchen when she was frustrated at something, and she walked up to me, fists doubled, beating on my chest, yelling, "Oh, Lando! Lando Lakes." That was my nickname at camp. So some of my old camp shirts, that was the name on the back, was Lando, as we all had nicknames. And so I have to admit to you that when the eyes of Leanna and I first locked and met, it was not love at first sight. Matter of fact, in that summer that we met, she was dating a race car driver. She was in the fast lanes, and I hadn't even gotten in the starting gate. We worked for 2 years together and became good friends. We did not start dating until 7 years later, July 1988, and the catalyst that got us dating was her father's heart attack. I have since asked my father-in-law, Bill, would you have that heart attack all over again for us? And he won't answer me. We started dating July of 1988. Well, I then moved a little quicker than I had in my younger years. We were engaged Thanksgiving of 88, and we were married the following April of 1989. Camp is about meeting new people. It's about making new friends. It's about trying new experiences and doing things that we've never done before. I've never been on a scaffolding this high. Well, yesterday I did it just to make sure, because I told someone who suggested that I do this, and I won't mention any names, but, you know, when the men have been changing all the light bulbs, said, David, maybe you ought to preach from here. Are all the light bulbs done? So it comes down Tuesday. All right. So they did. When I realized it was camping Sunday, I said, tell the men, because I was gone the first part of the week. I was at Jamonville. I said, put the scaffolding in front of the pulpit and lock it in place. But if I don't feel comfortable, I ain't going to do it. So I did a dry run yesterday, and here I am. So sometimes at camp, we get to do things that we've never done before, and that's okay. But camp is also about meeting Jesus. And our camps do a great job at the campers meeting Jesus. Statistically, we've heard for years that there are more youth who have a first-time experience with Jesus Christ during these 9 or 10 weeks of the summer camping program than the other 42 or 43 weeks of the year in all of our churches put together. And yet it amazes me. Our annual conference over the last 10 or 20 years continually has cut what our budget has been offering to our camps, and more of our camps are relying on their own fundraising. Oh, we talk about making disciples, we talk about new church starts, but we've got a great built-in ministry, and yet we're just not using it. Go figure. Maybe right, we need to write letters to the Council on Finance and see what we can do. So our camps, Allegheny, Jamonville, Wesley Woods, they do a great job at connecting people with Jesus Christ. They do a great job of that first introduction. So how, my friends, are we doing? How are we doing at connecting and introducing people to Jesus Christ? In Mark's gospel, which incidentally is the first gospel written, a lot of people are coming to the house of Simon and Andrew, and as they are coming to the house, they are meeting Jesus. That evening at sunset, people brought to Jesus those who were sick or demon-possessed. The whole town gathered near the door. Jesus healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases, and he threw out many demons. those individuals from the town, they came to the door, they patiently waited to meet and interact with Jesus, and in so doing and experience the healings, or seeing those healings occurred, they had health and wholeness restored in their hearts, their minds, and their spirits. And their lives were changed like they had never been changed before. Paul then in 1 Corinthians is writing to the small new church in Corinth. Now Corinth is a seaport. You can imagine what all is going on in the seaport with sailors and men coming and going and looking for extracurricular activities and the different churches and religions that were there. It was not a place to go on vacation. It was not a place to raise your children. And so this small church is seeking to hang on with all of these outside influences coming their way. And it seems in these verses that Paul is either a chameleon, always changing his colors, or at least he has an extreme personality disorder. He becomes whatever and whoever he needs to become so that others might meet Jesus. Again, he said, to the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. Paul was a driving force behind the whole beginning of this new young Christian church. Without Paul taking the Christian church to the Gentiles and it catching fire and growing, what we know as Christianity might have stayed as a Jewish sect. But Paul was driven by a passion for Jesus Christ to become all things to all people. Paul wanted to change, to transform, and to make new the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ that it might impact the lives of individuals that he met on a daily basis. So what are we willing to do for Jesus? Are we willing to make sure that our youth within this church go to camp this summer if they want to go so that they might have an experience with Jesus Christ? Are we willing to make sure that if there's a kid outside the walls of this church that wants to go to camp, that we'll make that happen? How are we in our own daily lives and living outside of the walls of this church introducing people to Jesus Christ? Will we become whatever is necessary to introduce people to Jesus Christ? Paul says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessing. May we do whatever is necessary so that others might share in the gospel in the presence of Jesus Christ as well, and that they then might receive that blessing. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Jesus Christ and your servant Paul. We are grateful, O God, for their passion, for their ability to take their teachings and to take them into the world that hearts, minds, and spirits might be changed and transformed, and individuals might experience a health and wholeness mentally, physically, and spiritually. Oh God, you call us and send us into the world as well. May we be empowered and impassioned by your Spirit, that we might live out our lives every single day so that others might see and experience Christ and have an experience with him as well. That their lives might be changed and transformed and made new in you. Oh God, continue to bless us, continue to empower us, and send us into the world. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.